Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
Baby, here I am. I'm a man on the scene.
Good morning, sports fans. This is the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am the one and only JP. And Mark, unfortunately, since your Dodgers lost, you're going to have to take a new little nickname today. Across the table from me is Mr. Leafs Coast himself, Mark Foray.
I started at Bleeding Blue, and I'll always bleed blue.
I understand. You know, I was pulling for you because I absolutely hate the Mets.
It's a great day. We've got a ton of baseball. We got a ton of football. We had a crazy day yesterday. Jimmy's barbecue place across the way is already smelling a wonderful brisket.
I love waking up in the morning.
The temperatures are down in the 60s. I mean,
it's beautiful.
It's the best time of year.
I want to thank Veranda High Point for letting us use their beautiful conference room, the Lazy River. Overlooking the Lazy River and the cabanas. We're actually going to have a little pool party here tonight, Mark, if you want to come back from 5 to 7. We got bratwurst and beer. And a DJ with the Patriots-Colts game on the TV down there.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be great. The
what
front office
place.
Is deciding to do it now because we just had a little changeover in management. So they're going to do a little fall party. But let's get right into the action here. Mark, I know we want to start off with the MLB.
Before we even go there, there's a couple of things I wanted to bring up I thought were interesting.
Sure.
Now, number one, of course, is Lamar Odom.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds like he's doing all right. He's coming around.
He was talking to his immediate family. He slept most of the day yesterday was the update that I got. I haven't seen a new update this morning. He's still in critical condition, though.
But you got to figure anytime someone at least wakes up, that makes a big difference. I mean, you remember when Whitney, Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown's daughter, when she went under, she never came back.
No,
so,
she did.
Once somebody goes down, at least if they talk one more time, they've got a chance of actually, like, recovering.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's doing okay. I was thinking if there's any way to go in a brothel's probably the place to do it, but it makes you wonder, do you think did he get overexcited? Was it a cocktail of drugs that caused a problem?
Pretty much, Lamar Odom, I personally don't know the man, never met him. By all accounts from everyone that we've actually talked to that you see, he's one of the nicest guys, out there in the NBA. I mean, Kobe Bryant, who keeps to himself, went right down there to his bedside as soon as it happened.
Yeah, that was cool. And it sounded like a lot of his teammates and a lot of the whole Kardashian clan and the Jenner clan, all showed up to give their support, which is nice. I can see the stress of living with any of that family for any period of time.
Yeah, what I hear is after he left the NBA, he just kind of – he didn't know what to do, and he kind of lost his way a little bit. And like you're saying, you don't always mean – well, the reports are he pretty much stroked down on a mixture of cocaine and probably Viagra.
It's like a herbal Viagra or something like that. Not the mainstream.
Not mainstream, but some sort of male stimulant.
And anytime you're taking something that's not really, I mean, for all the complaints that people have about the FDA and how hard it is to get drugs going through, you kind of see why, right? Because you don't know what these organic ones are going to do to you because they haven't been tested. But, it's good to hear that he's doing okay.
Yeah, that is really good to hear because, like I said, everyone speaks really highly. Stephen A. Smith he was almost in tears.
Wow. And, personally, if I was having to stare at Khloe Kardashian all the time, I'd probably go to a brothel myself. So, anyway.
That's a story for another day in another shop.
And now the other issue that has come up this week, and I actually have partaken in this myself, which is both FanDuel and DraftKings. Are coming under investigation.
I was going to bring that up, actually.
Insider trading, not insider trading, but insider information. And using data that they have from their sources, which pretty much are how they set the salaries and how they set the point totals. It makes you wonder because one of the questions that I always had whenever I had a team on there was, is this legit? Like, if I have a great start to my day and I'm thinking, okay, I can make and win some money here, you really don't know if somebody else, from that who works there, or even the company itself, might suddenly throw teams into the mix that have higher scores to take the big winnings, and you'd never really know that because some of these contests have 25, 30,000 people in them or more. And
you are 100% correct in that.
So, I mean, how do you regulate that?
Here's the thing. The Nevada State Gaming Commission is trying to get them out of business because they're unregulated, and the Nevada State Gaming Board says they're doing an illegal practice of wagering. I didn't know if you heard that or not. That came across Good Morning America.
I love Nevada
Wednesday.
Talking smack about anybody else's gambling site.
Yeah, you can only legally you cannot sports bet in Atlantic City.
Well, and I mean, but is this sports betting or is this because you're not betting on a team, you're betting on the daily production of different players. And I think that you could make the argument that there's enough skill involved in that that it's not really gambling.
Whenever there's money involved, it's gambling.
And I'm sure the IRS is probably looking for a way to get a bigger cut of the pie.
I was going to ask you if you knew any information on that, because I have a funny feeling they don't want to have to go to Congress on this. They
no.
want to come to a – but I think this might go to Congress.
I think what you're going to end up seeing is you're going to end up seeing a large tax being levied on them from the IRS in terms of watching their earnings and then using that money to keep a consistent investigation on their practices. And it could hurt them, because what's going to end up happening is you're going to see the prices for the games are going to start going up, or the payouts are going to start dropping.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, both of those major sites will offer up reimbursement, not reimbursement, but like if you put in $200, they'll match $200.
Yep.
Now, I can tell you from experience here, you'll never get that money back unless you spend $25,000, because
right.
you get so many points for the site for every contest you enter,
right.
and it takes 100 points to equal $1,
mm-hmm.
and you have to enter like 3 or 4 $25 games to get 100 points. So
right.
basically, spend $100 to get $4. So
right.
We are still. I mean, I think I'm almost 2 years in, and I still haven't gotten my whole bonus. You know.
Yeah. No. No. I have not gotten it to FanDuel or DraftKings yet. I know some people that just started out, and you know they only put in a couple of bucks. But I was just like, well, I'm like, how does this really all work in the end?
and I think that's the problem, right? We have no idea.
You're
we
right.
don't know what they're doing. It's just one of those things where you're just trying to have faith that people are doing things right.
Right.
And how often is that the case, you know?
The Nevada State Gaming Commission is 100% correct that it is unregulated.
Oh, absolutely. And that pisses them off.
Yeah.
Because they want to be unregulated, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure they want a cut of the money.
Yes. And I've never done well enough to have a cash out, or I've left the money in there to keep playing.
Yeah.
So along with, you know, there's some of those gambling sites online where you can do sports gambling. I won't name any because I don't want to get any in trouble. It's maybe BetUS, who I don't care about. But there's a lot of those sites. And I think with the issues that you run into where when you cash out, because you're cashing out from like a foreign entity because they're located in like some island nation somewhere.
Right.
So I wonder what happens in terms of taxes when you get your money back from a FanDuel or from a DraftKings. But if it turns out that all the money is going to employees, then it's not going to really matter.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So anyway, so sorry for that sidetrack, but let's go ahead.
That's
and
a really good sidetrack, actually.
Let's go ahead and jump into baseball.
But once again, we just want to wish Lamar Odom a speedy recovery. We just
absolutely,
want to say that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Just to make sure. I know it's a horrible situation that he ended up where he ended up, and then it's all over the news. Chloe is the person that's making all the family decisions, which I think is outrageous. I think
they're still married, so
they technically are. I think any Kardashian that's on TV should be thrown off television. I have no idea even why they're on there. But anyway, back to the MLB.
So you know, it was a very interesting NLDS or NLDS and ALDS, the division series in baseball.
It was.
Most of them went deep. In fact,
really
three of the four went all five games. And
they
this is, again, why I think that they need to be doing – I think they should probably do seven. It's a longer season.
But that the wild card, that extra wild card game is why they actually got rid of it.
Well, they've always –
if I remember right.
No, it's been a five-game series in the DS ever since it came around.
Okay.
But the league championship series have always been seven, and they still are. So, you know, first off, we had the Royals versus the Astros.
Yep.
And there wasn't anything really crazy about that series. It was well played on both sides. We found out that Cueto is a big game pitcher.
He
and,
really is.
You know, since he really kind of came around like 3 years ago, Cincinnati hasn't been any good. And so him finally going to the Royals, you know, gave him a chance to actually show what he could do in a really big game. And I think he's legit. I think he showed that he can, you know, he can focus. And he retired the last 19 batters in the elimination game.
He was on fire.
So that's terrific. So you got to really give him kudos on that. What else did we see? We saw that Kuchel didn't do so well pitching in relief. So I guess not every starting pitcher can do that, which is another good question, though. Because you think back to Randy Johnson with Arizona did it. Madison Bumgarner last year obviously did it.
Yep.
And Noah Syndergaard did it against the Dodgers in their Game 5. And I think that was the seventh inning that he came in and it just blew him away. So, you know, I understand the practice. Why not put your best guy out there that you've got who's available? But I guess the question comes down to is, do they have enough rest to be ready to pitch, or do they have the kind of arm that lets them be a rubber pitcher?
Well, I think it comes down to a mindset of a starting pitcher. You have to remember, they go into the next – the day before they know they're starting, they go into a whole repetition of they're the starting pitcher. They take on the whole day, the whole same routine throughout the day.
The routine.
Pitchers step over the baseline coming off the field. I mean, that's how superstitious
they are. Or the thing like, I'm going to eat eggs in the morning, exactly. Or I always eat waffles, or I always drink, you know, a Monster, or, you know, whatever it is,
if
right?
If you're sitting down there in the bullpen and five innings go by and all of a sudden you're asked to get the warm up, now you're completely off your game day routine. And some pitchers mentally can't handle that. There's a pitcher that I can't remember. It's on the tip of my tongue. He just absolutely blew it. I think it was – I can't remember who it was now. I wish I had that in front of me. He came in like the sixth inning and completely just blew the game.
Some guys just don't have the mental mindset for doing both. It's a lot like with some closers. Gagne comes to mind where he was for the Dodgers for a number of years, and he had a year, albeit on steroids, where he was just untouchable in the ninth, but every time he came in a tie game – or in a game that was in the earlier innings, he got shelled because he didn't get up. He just didn't get amped, you know.
That actually happens with a lot of closers.
Mm-hmm.
If they have to go more than one inning, they're out of their element.
And that shows you a really valuable closer. You think about Eckersley when he kind of defined the position. He could do the multiple saves. The Mets closer, I can't remember how you say his last name, but Trujillo or Mejia or whatever his name is.
Trujillo.
But, you know, he did very well. He did multiple extra out saves in the LDS. As far as those pitchers that have trouble, you know, transitioning one to the other, you know, maybe they should contact ekfit.net. They could get some of the shakes and some of the meal programs and, you know, maybe get enough energy to actually do something.
Be a great call.
Exactly. A couple little notes from that series, you know, McCuff, he did not do well in his start. He is not very consistent. Charlie's a good pitcher, and I think he's got the talent, but I think he's shown that he's just not really a big game kind of guy, or at least he hasn't reached that point where he can be focused and be consistent. So overall, that series ended with the Royals taking Game 5. They kind of routed the Astros in that last game. I think a lot of that comes down to that maturity that we talked about before, experience in the playoffs, and knew what they were doing. The next series that we can run over real quick, because there wasn't a whole lot that happened, was the Cubs and the Cardinals.
Yep.
Now, the Cardinals have been juggernauts, right? They have been four straight NLCS.
They have.
And thank goodness they are not in this one. You know, no Cardinals and no Yankees is almost worth no Dodgers to me. The Cubs are showing almost like a destiny team. I mean, rookies are hitting great. Schwarber and Soler have really been taking a leadership role, coming in behind Rizzo. And you know, the big thing that we didn't see this time was Cardinals didn't get those timely hits. They didn't get those hits with the runners on base, and they always used to get those. It was Matt Adams, or it was Matt Carpenter, or whoever it was, or Wong, or you know, whoever. Everybody on that team, Grychuk, I mean, they all just come through when it's a big moment, you know. So we're going to have a little more to do on the other ALDS matches and the LCSs that are coming up this next week. Now, as far as the Mets and the Dodgers, before we go into that series at all, I just want to say again that it's time for Mattingly to be fired. Now, as a non-Dodger fan, do you think that that's a valid request?
Well, you know, there was an exchange between Mattingly and who was it?
Oh, that was Ethier.
Ethier, that's right. It was Ethier. I think that shows you that there's a division in the clubhouse, because that was not just an argument. That was a heated
argument. And you heard Mattingly's explanation, I'm assuming. He said something like that Ethier was mad at a call or a ball and strikes call, and that Mattingly was just trying to calm him down, but he's like, oh, he wasn't in a mood to be calmed down, and he got mad. And that does happen, but I think absolutely you're right. That shows that he's lost the team. He doesn't have their respect.
I would
respect.
Believe you're 100% right in that one, and I think it is time for them to part ways.
And I go
in a new direction.
And I feel bad because I do like Mattingly. He was a great ball player, and I feel really bad that he never got a chance to get a World Series ring as a player. But he just doesn't – it's almost like he wants to have the comfort and the laissez-faire attitude that Joe Torre had, but I don't think he realizes that Joe Torre had more experience and had a deeper resume, especially as a manager, to get that respect.
That is true. Mark, we're going to step aside here. You know, I'm feeling a little down this morning. What can I do to bring myself up to get a little energy?
Well, like we were saying, you can always log on to ekfit.net. They can give you an exercise program as well as some shakes and meal plans that will help you to reach the fitness goals you're looking for and be able to go for longer periods of time.
Oh, that's great. And I want to thank SageMediaLLC.com for being one of our sponsors. Also, you can find all your web hosting, website, web design, your logo design. They designed our wonderful logo there. That's SageMediaLLC.com. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And we are back live on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Mark, let's pick up where we left off.
Well, you know, we were talking about the Dodgers series and a little breaking news. I mean, it was breaking news last night pretty much, but it looks like Greinke's going to opt out.
He
had that opportunity with his contract. He still had 3 years and $71 million remaining. But let's also remember that the guy had a Cy Young type season. He might win the Cy Young Award if it doesn't go to Arrieta. So perhaps he's looking for more money from the Dodgers, and that's what I'm personally hoping as a fan, because otherwise that losing a number or other number one really hurts that team. Maybe David Price is going to be a free agent. I don't know. I think Cole Hamill still has another year with the Rangers. So
I believe he signed a 2 year.
Oh, he's signed. Okay, so
I think he has one more year.
So it could be a little while before that. There's a lot of other talent out there.
Yeah.
But then again, Greinke might say, you know what, this team doesn't perform well. And again, that's why I think Mattingly needs to go. I think that your team bleeds from the top down.
It really does.
Now, in that Dodgers series, we did see some good things for the Dodgers finally. Kershaw got that monkey off his back. He had a great start.
Oh,
he did. He didn't do it well in that very first start. He did okay. But his second start, he was pretty good. He kind of dominated. He had a lot of strikeouts. They actually didn't win it by much, but at least he finally got a win. Obviously, there was the very ugly play where Utley took out Tejada at second, broke his leg. There's been a lot of consternation about this, a lot of talk about this, but from viewing it a few times, I understand why people didn't like the fact that he slid so late, but really, sliding is part of the game. Breaking up double plays is part of the game.
Chase Utley is not a dirty player. I've known him. I've watched him for years in Philadelphia. He's not a dirty player.
It's not, and people say like he's trying to hurt him, trying to take him out. That's not true. I mean, the only reason that what happened, what happened to his leg and breaking his leg, that was just freakish. That stuff doesn't usually happen.
Random.
Yeah, it means that the cleat got caught somewhere where it wasn't supposed to. Same, I mean, kind of like the way I tore my ACL. My foot slid across home plate, dug into the other side, got caught.
Yep.
That's all it takes.
Okay.
So, it was a good overall series. I'm very impressed with the Mets. They look like they may really be a team of destiny, which is kind of fun while they're meeting up with the Cubs in the NLCS, because they both look like a destiny team. Obviously, Daniel Murphy seems to be the guy for them. He's kind of the guy, the breakout guy, who's been most of their offense or started most of their offense. And he was also instrumental in pretty much every win that they had. He also has played well in the series going on so far in the NLCS. Now, the last series that we want to review was the NLD or the ALDS between the Rangers and the Blue Jays. Now, this one started out 2-0 one direction, then they came back to tie it. Yep. So now we went to a Game 5. Maybe the craziest Game 5 in the history of a league division series. Do you want to kind of recap what happened there?
Well, you know, this is really weird. And as a catcher, I've never seen this happen in the lifetime I've watched catchers
never.
Play baseball. He was throwing the ball back to the mound, and the batter just happened to have his bat out over the plate, and the ball hit off the plate. Runner from third comes in.
No, not off the plate, off the bat.
Off the bat, I meant. It hit off the bat and rolled into play.
Yeah.
And runner came in and scored. And I didn't know that was actually legal, honestly.
It's actually, if you go back and watch the play, the announcers at first are like, well, isn't that a dead ball? Isn't that a dead ball?
I thought it was a dead ball.
But then they watched the replay, and they're like, well, you know, it just went off the bat, and there's no interference involved, because Sin-Soo Choo was just holding his bat and adjusting his glove.
Yeah.
So it was he does it every at-bat. Yeah, there was no nefarious thing going on there. But it was very interesting to see that kind of a play. And then, you know, what happened after that, which kind of, you know, kind of takes away the Canadians are really nice people kind of
really
stereotype.
We're talking about Toronto Canadians here.
Now. Yeah, and they were, and for some reason, I guess they still serve beer in cans there.
Yeah.
And they were throwing full cans down, and people in the upper deck were throwing them, and they weren't even making it to the field. They were hitting the spectators below.
It was embarrassing, actually. It's something you really just don't want to see, but, you know, when things get out of hand like that, you have to shake your head sometimes, and I know they're going to reevaluate selling cans of beer.
Oh, absolutely.
They have to.
You think about if you go down to the Coors Event Center here in Colorado, and you're watching, or the Pepsi Center, and you're watching any kind of Avalanche game, or you're watching a Nuggets game, you'll notice that anytime they give you anything that has a lid, they keep the lid.
Yeah.
Because they got so used to, I don't like being treated like a Raiders fan, you know, like a Neanderthal, but obviously that there is a reason they do these things, right? They're trying to protect people.
Sorry, I really like this game.
No problem.
I mean, they are the worst fans in sports to me. I've been around Mets fans for a long, long time, and they are the absolute worst.
And we'll be nice. We won't bring up Eagles fans.
Well, they're worse than Eagles fans, trust me.
And then, of course, in the bottom of that exact same inning of that craziness, the Blue Jays then came up. There were three batters in a row.
Yep.
The first one, I believe it was the guy just couldn't handle the hop at shortstop. There was a play to second that didn't work. And then after that, there was a throw by Beltre to Andrews at third, and he couldn't handle that throw. Bases loaded, nobody out. I think they got the next batter on a pop-up or a strikeout, but then Bautista came up. You saw him blast a three-run home run or four-run and put him ahead, and then he did that bat toss, which everybody acted like he was showing the guy up, which, you know what, in a huge moment like that, you don't get to celebrate, really. Is that what we've gotten to?
I mean, I think it's pitiful that he can't – he just hit a huge – home run in that game, and I would have flipped my bat too. And the unwritten rule in baseball, you don't do that. Throw around the unwritten rule.
It's not
rule
polite. It's not politically correct. Yeah,
it's
annoying.
You know, baseball needs to get a little more exciting. You know,
they
we're
do.
Trying to cut the games down to a certain time limit because we keep wanting to go longer and longer and longer. We don't want to see a 4-hour game on TV. We want to see some excitement.
Well, you know, they need to start limiting batters. They need to start saying you have to be back in the box in 5 seconds, or any time after that the pitcher is allowed to throw.
Well, that's up to the umpire, because that brings back the one guy that kept stepping in, and the guy just hit him.
Yeah.
The pitcher hit him. The umpire needs to say, throw the ball.
Yeah. I think the umpires need to institute a rule, and they can have the umpire say, you know, count to five after each pitch, and then go, okay, pitch is live. And then just, you know, like you said, give the little point to the pitcher, up to the batter to be ready, you know. And
I agree.
And I can't stand when you have that batter, like, remember Nomar Garciaparra, right?
Oh,
I mean, we all loved him as a player. But,
he was.
But he would step out, he would readjust the
wristband
about
three times a piece, then he'd go over the bat, and then he'd hit the plate five times. It was just ridiculous. I mean, it was like Sergio Garcia 10 years ago trying to hit a golf ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, come on, Sergio.
It's like, why do you have to take, 45 seconds per pitch? You know,
exactly.
Does it take that much for you to feel comfortable? But, he was a good player. Maybe that's why he was good. So that did that series in. No more runs came around for that game. So, that leaves us now. We've got the Blue Jays playing against the Royals.
Yep.
And we've got the Mets versus the Cubs, which are two really good series. And really, if you look at these four teams, how can you be unhappy with any World Series we're going to get? The Royals haven't won anything in forever. The Blue Jays hadn't even been in the postseason since 98. The Cubs haven't been in the postseason for at least 6 years to 7 years. And the Mets, I don't remember them doing anything since Piazza was there. So,
no, they haven't done anything since they think they made the playoffs in 2006 and got eliminated in the wild card. Or they got it right away, if I remember right.
And I don't think they've won a World Series since the 86 Mets.
Nope.
So,
that was the last.
Yeah, so I mean, we've got a score of teams that haven't won a World Series in a long time, and I think all of us would be okay seeing the Cubs, break their 106 or however many year curse they've got going.
I think it's 100. It's about 100.
It's getting crazy. I mean, over 100 years, you got to do something. We have had two games in the Blue Jays and the Royals series so far.
We have.
Honestly, the Royals look amazing.
They do. I'm going to still stay with my pick because of that one stat that Mike and Mike brought up. I'm going to pick the Blue Jays to come back in this one and actually take the series.
Well, in a seven-game series, going down 2-0 isn't the disaster, But here's one thing you got to wonder about. David Price, again, can't get through the postseason. Can't do anything. He's like Kershaw.
He can't.
But he's worse.
I actually turned college football off to watch that inning when I saw them score a run. And I was just—I was like, "Oh my God, here it goes again." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
Well, I mean, and he just had a complete meltdown inning. I mean, he couldn't get anybody out, and then the reliever came in. He couldn't get him out.
No.
And
it just all fell.
But the Blue Jays are so weird. They've got such an amazing offense, but again, good pitching is starting to take down good hitting.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, the Royals don't have that great of pitching overall.
They
don't look like they have great pitching.
No.
But you know what? Sometimes guys step up at the right time.
Volquez
was great. Perez has been great. Perez has been great hitting. And then the other series, of course, the Mets and the Cubs. They've only had one game so far, another big game tonight. They're going to have Arrieta versus Syndergaard.
I like Arrieta tonight. I tell you what.
And Syndergaard's a 100-mile-an-hour guy.
Yeah.
He's a very exciting young pitcher. So we're going to have them. Obviously, we'll look for Murphy to see if he can do something. He hit another home run last night to help them win. Harvey was brilliant. Went 7 1/3 innings, gave up 2 runs total. He only left because Schwarber hit a lucky homer off of him. So we're going to see, these two series are going to go down. If you had to make a determination right now, who do you think wins the whole thing?
Wins the whole thing? I'm still going to go with that stat, and I'm going to say the Blue Jays pull it out. But I want to bring up an interesting point I heard last night. This came out of nowhere. Apparently, the curse of the goat.
Yeah.
The goat's name was Harvey.
Huh?
That was brought up on SportsCenter last night. They were making a joke about Matt Harvey pitching and winning the game.
Well, and they call him the Dark Knight, he's really proving that the Mets knew what they were doing. Now they have brought in, they have built an incredible bullpen and starting staff, and all of this is with Wheeler, who was supposed to be one of the best, tearing his ACL.
Yeah.
Or not ACL, I'm sorry, UCL. So, they're going to get him back in middle of next year. If this team ends up being a World Series team, boy, we could be looking at a dynasty.
That's true. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't the Cubs go 7-0 against the Mets this year?
I believe they did.
They did. So I think we're going to see the Cubs come alive. I would love to see the Cubs and the Blue Jays play a World Series. If it's the Cubs and the Royals, I just want to see the Cubbies get their shot.
I do too, and there's nothing against the Mets. I think that both the Cubs and the Mets were looking at long term being good teams, and they both came along much faster than expected. So we could be seeing this NLCS replayed 3 or 4 times over the next 10 years.
We really could. The Mets, they have great young pitching. I mean, it's going to really be hard to stop them. Looking in, the Nationals just completely. I mean, they're going to they cleaned out. Basically, the GMs are the coach is gone. The whole coaching staff is gone. Actually, we're gonna have to see what they come up with next year. I mean, you can't.
Does Strasburg come back? You know, I mean, is he going to be a great pitcher that he was supposed to be? Scherzer looked great, but he wasn't enough. They couldn't hit. You know, I think the Nationals are in trouble. I don't think Atlanta's coming back for any time soon.
No.
Miami, who knows? It's been 5 or 6 years. Maybe they'll have another one of their World Series runs, but it looks like it could be the Mets division to lose for quite a while.
It could be. The Phillies are definitely rebuilding. They're hiring a new GM. I think it's going to be one of the assistants, the AGM there. It's a woman by the name of, I believe, Lynn. Don't know her personally. Like I said, I did used to work at the Phillies minor league organization. I did know some of the people.
It'd be nice to see a female GM, though, and see what they can
GM,
do.
Actually, in all of baseball.
I know the Dodgers had one. She was an Asian gal, and I think her last name was Ning or something. But, you know, she looked like she had some serious talent.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we're going to go to a quick commercial break here. Once again, I want to thank our friends at EKSit.net. Get all your Shakeology products, your P90X, all your Beachbody coaching, EKSit.net. And
also, we want to thank SageMediaLLC.com. They can take care of all your multimedia needs, whether it's logo, website, or social media. Visit SageMediaLLC.com. It's the place to get your information and your marketing.
Okay, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
This is Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We're going to switch some directions here and go into the NFL. This is NFL Sunday game day, by the way, if you did not know.
Well, NFL is always everyone's favorite around this country, so another Sunday, another exciting week. We did have a Thursday night game, of course. This one was the Falcons finally losing. They lost to the Saints. I think that may have been the first win for the Saints, so good for Drew Brees. Or maybe the second win, you know. But at least they're finally looking like they have some kind of life there. C.J. Spiller obviously has helped since he's come back, and you know, Brees has done what Brees does, which is he takes whoever's there and makes them look like a star because of his accuracy.
Oh, he used everybody.
Just amazing.
It really was. And I think Matty Ice kind of looked a little bit like Matty Ice. You know,
looked like the Matty Ice that we've come to know.
Yeah. The Falcons had to weather the first 6 to 8 minutes of that game,
mm-hmm.
and they completely did not, because the Superdome is the Superdome. I mean, that is a very intimidating
big home field advantage, absolutely.
Yeah. So you have to get through the first 6 to 8 minutes, and they completely they gave up 14 points.
Well, I mean, and what a stupid way to give up the points.
Yeah.
You know, fumbling a punt block?
I mean, he almost destroyed. I thought the kicker was hurt.
Yeah. we haven't really seen much in the way of punt blocks this year.
No, you have not. Not in the NFL.
And, you know, you got that Willie, I think his name is Willie Snead, I believe, for New Orleans, who was great 2 weeks ago, was okay this week. This week the star was Watson. So, you know, I mean, they got Brees back. You know, the shoulder's doing okay. So I think the Saints might be all right. I think that they're going to run into a problem, of course, being in the same division with the Panthers. Now, we did get a Roddy White sighting. Finally
we
got
did.
A touchdown.
I got a touchdown out of him.
And after all, I mean, because that guy was complaining. Well, that guy was whining.
Here's the thing. I had that game. I was actually watching, I think, the college game that was on that night. Boise State losing to Utah State, which we'll get to.
Yeah, that was something.
That really was. I had the NFL game on my other TV, which has no volume, so I could actually, without the announcer saying absolutely anything, I could actually literally watch Matty Ice completely just stare down Julio Jones on that side of the field. He would stare him down completely that whole second half.
Yeah.
He would not look anywhere else.
Well, I mean, when you've got a top three talent, right, your thought has got to be, we've got to throw to this guy. We've got to get him involved. You know, Devontae Freeman, I don't understand where this guy came from. I mean, I know he was a rookie last year, right, and we kind of expected a lot from him. And he didn't really do anything. And then the last few weeks, he's been like a fantasy superstar.
Oh, he has.
And I think he got another two touchdowns in this game. He got one rushing, one receiving. He's a dual threat. And this is a guy who lost the starting job to Tevin Coleman in week one. And then Tevin got hurt, and now Devontae is going off and has taken over the position. And it just goes to show you that I totally agree with this philosophy as well. I know it used to be common for coaches to say, you know, no one on my team is going to lose their position due to injury. Well, you know what? This is a business. This isn't backyard football. If you've got a play, if you've got a player who is dominating, you keep using that player.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
So now we've also a little side issue I wanted to bring up, because we all know, obviously, we'll be getting into what happened to Harbaugh this weekend. but, you know, the Niners are 1-4,
yes,
and they have
are.
Not – in fact, they have not even looked close to good
they
since that
a,
first game against the Vikings.
They're a two-point underdog at home against Baltimore today.
Like, and Baltimore's a 1-4 team as well.
Yes, they are.
So you're playing another 1-4 team, a team that has had no defense whatsoever and who has a quarterback that looks like who we all thought he was, and they're still underdogs. I mean, how does that happen at home?
Well, you know, I'm going to bring out this point, and, you know, I think Colin Kaepernick can be a great backup quarterback. I don't know why he's a starting quarterback, right, frankly. I don't see his arm. I don't see his read. He can run, make
plays. The reads, that's the thing. The reads. He doesn't make two reads. He makes the first read, and then he pretty much is running.
That's what he does. I've watched him now, and I still don't understand. I mean, Jim Harbaugh took him to that Super Bowl, and then the team fell apart because Jim Harbaugh didn't like what was happening on the field and what the GM was doing.
And you got to think that Harbaugh took a team that had not done anything. And he took them to back-to-back championships and won Super Bowl. And they didn't win the Super Bowl against the Ravens, but he took them there twice. And this was a team that was doing nothing for a number of years. The GM reminds me of the GM in San Diego a number of years back when they had, was it Martin Schottenheimer, right? And they were 14-2.
Yep.
They lost an AFC championship or an AFC division round game. And they replaced the guy, a 14-2 coach, who was obviously doing things correctly.
He was.
They bring in North Turner, and you find out really quickly that some guys are not made to be head coaches.
They aren't.
And I think the difference I think what a lot of GMs seem to make a mistake on, and I think this is where the whole good old boy friends network hurts the game, is that I think GMs, number one, I think they're a little too impressed with themselves. I think they think, oh, I'm amazing. But I think what the GMs need to do is look back and say, okay, here's the guy that I'm going to bring in to run my team. And you need to make sure that guy agrees with your philosophy 100%.
Yeah.
So that when you're going into the draft, when you're going into free agency, you are buying the same players and the right kind of players and having them play. Something that John Fox was not doing in Denver.
He
would not play the people that Elway was drafting or would pick up. And I also think what's weird about GMs is if you're a new GM, either you need to get players for the current coach's system, or you need to fire the coach and say, like, I'm sorry, this is the direction I want to go with the team. I need a coach that plays in my direction.
Yeah.
Because if they're not working together, you're not going to do well. You know, in the rare occurrence that you get just a mastermind like Harbaugh, because Harbaugh did do that with a team that wasn't really the team that he wanted to put together, and that's why he ended up leaving. And, you know, if they had worked with them, you know, who knows how far they could have gone. But instead, now the Niners are looking like they're on a downward trajectory, and who even would want that job?
I can't imagine wanting that job. I mean, it's a great organization to work for. They lost, really, from what I understand, Levi Stadium does not have the atmosphere Candlestick Park does. It's kind of a dead stadium.
Yeah.
With the way they built it.
Well, there's just no way they're going to have the same kind of sound and the same kind of home field effect, right?
Exactly.
And, but, you know, I just, again, it baffles me sometimes when I don't think that people in positions of power. I think they sometimes get so enamored with their own position, step back and say, well, what's my real goal here? My goal is success. And if I want to be successful, I've got to be working as part of a team. And working as part of a team means working with who you have, not like commandeering. You know, it's kind of like that old image they have about the difference between a leader and a boss. You know, is the boss is sitting in the chair screaming at the people that are pulling the cart, and the leader is the guy who's out in front of the cart pulling it with his team, you know. So anyway, not to go on too much of a tangent there.
Let's jump in. The Broncos are on the road today in a really interesting game with the Browns. They are 4-point favorites at Cleveland. Cleveland is a team right now in disarray. Johnny Manziel had a little incident this week that we're not really going to go into because we don't know all the details.
At least it took this long.
Well, here's the whole thing with Manziel. We don't know why he went to rehab. Was it alcohol? Was it drugs? Was it something else?
Sex addiction.
This girl stood by him. This girl's been with him for quite some time. She has a tattoo on her forearm of his name. That she really does. So this isn't a new girlfriend to him. This is a person that's been with him for some time. I want to ask, can the Broncos get a running game today? Is really what I want to know.
Boy, I don't know. I don't even know what's wrong. I don't understand why they can't block, because Kubiak was the offensive coordinator for the Ravens when they completely reshuffled their offensive line and then won the Super Bowl and made Joe Flacco look like a good quarterback because he had all the time in the world to throw. And you give a guy enough time who has a professional arm and they're gonna win.
Right.
And I guess I'm not sure if talent that thin on the Broncos, and obviously losing Clady, who was a top 10 tackle, you know, losing your left tackle, you know, makes things dangerous, but something else is going on.
Yeah, there is.
Because, you know, Kubiak was also the offensive coordinator for the Broncos in all those years with Terrell Davis, and then, you know, Alandis Gary and Mike Anderson and all those guys, some guy named Bell.
Monty Bell.
No, that's Monty Ball. But Monty Ball. They had some guy named Bell that played with Anderson, and, you know, they had 1,000-yard rushers every year. And they just kept reshuffling the line, and he kept making the line work.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he can't make the line work at all. I don't know if C.J. Anderson isn't making the cuts right, if it's just maybe they're just taking more time to get used to things. Maybe it just takes time to get the offense going. Manning obviously does not look comfortable still. He looks a little bit more comfortable as more shotgun and pistol. But this offense is not the kind of offense that's going to win playoff games. And they do have a championship league caliber defense.
They do.
But is that enough?
I don't know. Here's what I would say. If the Broncos get up big, or if they go up by a couple scores in the first half of this game and Manning throws the ball well, I would almost pull Manning and let Osweiler finish the game, because the more time you can give Manning off, the more time you're going to have him at the end of the season.
Very true. And then, but with Manning's competitive nature, you wonder if that will hurt his psyche. And
it might.
I would hope not. I mean, you would hope he'd be more mature than that. But
yeah. I mean,
with players,
getting up in age like that, you have to look at the rest of them whenever you can, because you have to look at the 16-game season plus playoffs. And have to say.
Absolutely. And we have seen occasional drives that look great, and you almost feel like if he has a great drive, they should almost pull him out and be like, okay, just stop there, remember what you did there, have that good feeling going, and then we'll just, you know, we'll run the ball the rest of the time.
And the Broncos also have to look at it last year, which we all think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get Osweiler into the motion of the game.
Absolutely.
And you have to just start bringing him in slowly.
Do something, because if he's going to be our quarterback of the future, you don't want all of his experience to be preseason.
Exactly.
You know?
That just ain't going to work.
So we've also got another big game coming up here with another undefeated team, Panthers versus Seahawks.
That is true.
Now, Seahawks are coming around, right? I mean, they've won the last two. They've looked good. Not great. And they're still not running wonderful, although Rawls has picked up okay for Marshawn Lynch. So what do you think? Do the Seahawks end the Panthers' undefeated run?
I would say yes. They are 7-point favorites in Seattle, and I'm going to go with 100%. They are going to beat the Carolina Panthers.
Seattle is a 7-point favorite?
As of last night.
Wow. I need to bet on
the
Panthers.
These lines all came from last night. I don't think Carolina can go into Seattle with that team, even though they are undefeated, and beat the Seahawks in that stadium.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Newton's looked amazing so far this year. I mean, he's the only reason they're winning.
And I'm surprised.
And I don't think that can continue. I don't think. I mean, a quarterback by themselves is hard to dominate that much. But, you know, I mean, the Seahawks, all three of their losses, they have given away a lead in the second half. And not only that, Cam Newton has been horrible against Seattle his last two or three games. Horrible.
His last two or three games have been absolutely atrocious.
I think his ratings were like 7, 8, 9. I mean,
I believe so.
Just atrocious. So, you know, this it's one of those – it's like one of those trap bets, right? It's like who would you put your money on? Would you put it on the Seahawks to cover? Would you put it on the Panthers?
Well, the over-under is 41 right now.
41. Well, you know, and they got Camp Chandler back in Seattle. So I think Seattle makes a statement at home that they're back and that they're not done.
It's a statement game for that.
They have to, right? I mean, and they've got the, you know, because the Cardinals are going to be good, but, you know, Rams and Niners, you know, I don't think do anything this year.
No, the Niners are dead in the water, in my opinion. I don't see anything that can save that season, you know. The Rams, with Todd Gurley running the way he did the last game, I mean, Nick Foles is capable. They might do something.
Yeah.
You never know.
He does look like he might be for real. You know, folks, if you're looking, if you've been looking for a while to lose weight and get in better shape, make sure you let the folks at www.ekfit.net help you. They'll help you with fitness programs and supplements from one of the biggest at-home fitness businesses in the country. Look for them on the internet or at EKFit on Facebook. They're ready to help you achieve your fitness goals.
And we also like to thank the folks over at SageMediaLLC.com. For all your web graphics, your web design, anything media related, your logos, he did our wonderful logo, get a hold of Kyle over at SageMediaLLC.com. And Mark, we're going to be right back after this quick commercial break.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. Your home is better protected when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org to get started. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Here and hit the tonight's game, the Patriots-Colts, the grudge match, could you say, for basically Tom Brady, the entire Patriots organization, going into Indianapolis. Mark, your thoughts.
It makes you wonder. I mean, the Patriots obviously have a chip on their shoulder and have loved just putting the beat down on everyone.
I think it's a 2x4 on their shoulder ready to come in here.
It's crazy. And, you know, but I like it. I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to see them doing well. And I think that they're going to take out some revenge today.
Well, let's just say, I mean, this is a modest point spread. It's New England at Indianapolis. They're a 9-point favorite in New England is with a 54.5
9 points.
There's a lot of people think either the Colts come out and make a statement in this game, or it gets ugly really, really early.
Well, the Colts have no defense.
They don't, and Belichick is going to want – Tom Brady's going to want to bury this team.
Oh.
I mean, we've been talking Deflategate now for 10 months.
It's making me think of the Jaguars game that the Patriots had this year where they scored, I don't know, 48 points or something,
something
or 50.
And they
tried
to do it to the Bills, but they kind of pulled off, backed off at the end of it.
They did. I don't think they were trying to embarrass the Bills.
No, they weren't trying to embarrass them.
But when Belichick wants to embarrass you, usually you're going to be embarrassed. And I just think about that game in Jacksonville where it was, you know, Edelman for a touchdown, Gronk for a touchdown, and then Deion Lewis for a touchdown, and then Blount for two touchdowns. And, you know, it was running, it was passing, it was defense, it was everything. We don't know if Andrew Luck is playing.
That's true. They say he wants to play, I think, in the Colts' best interest that they play.
Almost. Hasn't the offense looked better?
Better, but, I mean, do you really want to send Andrew Luck out there against the Patriots defense and get hurt?
Just to get pounded.
I mean, cause if he's going to be in the game, you know they're going to look to take him out.
Oh, they're going to blitz five guys every play.
Yeah, they're going to.
Why not?
And Andrew Luck hasn't looked great at any point of any of his starts.
He hasn't, and I don't even know why. I mean, you can say the offensive line isn't good, like there aren't a lot of teams is not good. But come on, Hasselbeck is old and slow, and he looks pretty good.
He does. He checks down to the drop-off guys. He's not throwing the ball downfield like Andrew does. He's playing smarter football, and that comes with being 40 years old.
I would actually wonder, for a while, it kind of looks to me like Andrew Luck has been getting some edibles from some of the Colorado marijuana dispensaries, because he looks lost almost when he was playing. Now, maybe it was just flukish. Maybe they just hadn't gotten the off. I mean, who knows, right? A thousand things can go wrong. But it does seem odd that Hasselbeck comes in and all of a sudden is doing much better. And we're not talking about a new coach. We're not talking about a new system. We're not talking about a bunch of new players. But – you know, also Andre Johnson had done nothing.
Absolutely
nothing. And Hasselbeck finally found a way to get him involved.
Yep.
So, I mean, can he
it's
bounce back?
It's a situation. If I was the coach, I'd be starting Hasselbeck and say, Andrew, take this week off.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to, but take it off.
You know, and you don't want to hurt the relationship with, obviously, your franchise quarterback, but and we know what he can do. He had great seasons so far,
yeah.
But yeah, something's going on. Something's going on there. You know, and I still think that Brady just wants to get even. So
he does, and I mean, there is definitely a 2x4 coming in, not a chip, a 2x4 on Belichick's shoulder coming in here to put the smack down.
Give me a score prediction.
Patriots 5, Colts 7.
Very close to what I was thinking. I'm going 56-17.
56-17.
Yeah,
I was trying to be modest to stay under 50.
Well, let's just say some of my friends who are Colts fans, thankfully they're also Mets fans. So they have something different to watch tonight. They're
yes,
not going to want
to
watch this football game.
No. I almost say I might watch – I want to see Arrieta pitch tonight, honestly.
Yeah, why not? I mean, we're going to have Marietta versus Syndergaard, right? Might as well watch that. So now the last game of the week is going to be the Eagles and Giants. Now, you've got the two teams that very possibly could be the ones that are battling for this division. We know that you're an Eagles fan.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give us a full breakdown.
Well, this is the Battle of I-95. We're going to basically break this game down into – does Chip Kelly mind his mind and say what he said, eat his words, saying his play calling has sucked? He pretty much called himself out the whole situation. You're saying, I have not called the right plays. I haven't done this. I haven't done that.
And he probably did some of that because at some point you've got to take the pressure off your players.
You do. And last year this was a blowout by the Eagles. It was a Sunday night or a Monday. I think it was a Sunday night game.
It was a huge blowout. And if you remember, you know, the Giants were the exact same as they are right now. They lost their two first games. Then they won three in a row. Now, when they got blown out by Philly, they went into an absolute tailspin. And
they
lost seven straight games after that, lost their season.
They did, yep.
Now, I don't think that they'll lose seven games again here. In fact, if there's anything I could see happening this year, it would be another Giants-Patriots Super Bowl because no one's paying attention to the Giants. No one thinks they're any good.
No.
And that seems to be when Coughlin figures out some weird thing and then Eli gets on fire. Of course, they don't have the defensive line they've had the other years.
That's true. After this is all said and done, Philadelphia is a 5-point favorite at home, over-under at 49 as of last night. I honestly could say at the end of tomorrow night, there could be a 4-way tie atop the NFC.
Wouldn't that be wild?
It's highly possible.
How are the Redskins playing that well?
They're not really playing that well, but Kirk Cousins is managing. I mean, Deshaun Jackson's been hurt, but he hasn't done a thing. thing. But they're
no,
managing,
he's worthless.
They're managing getting something done. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say how they're actually doing that. But you know what? Hey,
it also seems like they're phasing Alfred Morris out on that team.
They are.
For Matt Jones, which
yeah.
I think Matt Jones is going to be a better player, but why wouldn't you do like a tandem?
Well, and that comes down to the head ball coach there, Gruden. And, you know, like I said, we could have a four-way tie, which I would be perfectly happy with. That's not a problem with me. So I'm going to predict an Eagles win by the score of, let's go, in the range of 27-18. 27-17 is what I want to say.
I could see something like that.
Yeah.
I would say that that's an accurate score of what I would guess if DeMarco Murray gets no less than 24 touches.
DeMarco Murray's going to get a lot of touches. Chip Kelly actually brought that to his attention, saying he's not using DeMarco the right way. You're going to see him go straight up the gut a lot. And they're going to go right at the Giants.
I mean, they need a playmaker. And when you're doing a fast-paced offense where a lot of it is crossing routes and drag routes and things like that, you really do need a running game. You need to have one of the safeties pulled up. You need to have the linebackers on edge. You can't let everybody just drop back into coverage and make Sam Bradford look like he's clueless.
That is very true. You know, Sam Bradford has looked like a deer in the headlights, quite frankly, at some points of this season. I think that changes tomorrow night. I know the Eagles do have his number. Chip Kelly has the Giants' number.
Yeah.
He knows how to beat him. He just got to go back to that same – just look at the game tape from last year.
And the Eagles' offense has looked dramatically better
the
last two games.
They definitely
so have, maybe so. they figured out what was the hitch. You know, I mean, it is a new system for the quarterback. Maybe it just took a while to get there.
It's a new running back that doesn't run sideways. He runs north and south, not east and west like McCoy did.
You know, and that brings up another interesting idea, which is, boy, McCoy hasn't done much. I mean, I know he's been hurt, isn't doing much.
No. He's been hurt, and they've actually – his hamstring injuries in the history of his career – college
bad.
And everything else. When he has a hamstring injury, it's a lingering hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
So Rex Ryan is actually doing a very smart thing by letting him sit out as long as he can because the Eagles pushed him the 1 year, and it just kept hurting him all.
And he ended up getting like three touchdowns.
It was horrible. They just kept putting him back in because he wanted to play, and he just had a horrible season. Once he gets
And they didn't have a backup really.
No,
I mean,
they had
Bryce Brown, I think, and he was a train wreck. So you know,
Bryce Brown and. Polk, I think that Polk might have been that. Oh, they had Polk and they got rid of Polk.
And then he went to the Texans, right?
Yeah, I believe it.
He's been playing okay.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Texans now, it looks like Arian Foster is back to full strength.
Hopefully.
He you know, made a lot of catches. He's still not running for a lot of yards, but, you know, I mean, he's starting to look like a big-time fantasy steal if you were able to pick him up in, like, the seventh or eighth round, you know?
That is true. We're going to go a quick commercial break. I want to thank our friends at akfit.net for all your health and fitness needs. And our friends at SageMediaLLC.com for all your web design, graphic needs, logo designs. That's SageMediaLLC.com. We'll be right back after this break.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course!
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And we are back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. It is now time to talk a little NC2A football. We had showdown Saturday yesterday. I have to admit, I turned on College Game Day at 7 a.m. and I turned off football after Utah beat Arizona State at 11:50 p.m. with only one quick break to watch the seventh inning of the Toronto-Kansas City game. When
you know, it's such a great time of year because you've got baseball playoffs, you've got NCAA right in the thick of the season, you've got the NFL past the quarter part, you've got NHL starting up, you've got NBA right about to start up, you've got Star Wars tickets about to go on sale.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking about a crazy couple of weeks.
I knew you'd find a way to sneak Star Wars in there somehow. I just knew you were going to do it. We're going to start off right now. I want to give you a Friday night special. This was absolutely...
This is incredible.
Incredible. Utah State, at home, which I actually didn't know this, they have not lost at home since 2013.
Really?
Yeah. I actually did not know that. They beat number 21 Boise State 52-26. Boise State had 7 turnovers in the first half.
I've never seen anything like that. How many was it for the game? Was it 9?
It was 8 or 9.
I've never seen anything like that.
I saw the 8. The 9th, I think, came late in the game.
You couldn't even do that on purpose if you wanted to.
I think it was 45-7 or 45-10 at the half. Ended up being 52-26. Utah State, I know they're not. I didn't put the record down on here, but I have to say that was. They looked quite impressive. Let's get into Showdown Saturday here. This is something. excuse me. We had a lot of top 25 matches, and this is what made it so good. We're gonna skip the obvious that everyone wants us to talk about. We're just gonna start at the top.
Okay.
We're gonna start with Ohio State and Penn State. Now the score is not indicative.
Your boys,
my boys, they put up a good fight. The score is not really that indicative of really how Penn State plays. Penn State actually played a very well game. I'm gonna tell you what. If Urban Meyer wants to come out here and basically play three quarterbacks, because Penn State had a 3-0 lead going into the second quarter. If Urban Meyer wants to come out here and play JT Barrett, Braxton Miller, and Cardell Jones all at quarterback, everyone in this country is going to have a huge problem. That's when they scored the 21 points in the second quarter.
Well, why did they put him in? Why did you change him out?
I don't think he wants to tip his hand, because he knew he could beat Penn State with just – He put JT Barrett back in, who threw a touchdown pass to Braxton Miller on a Tim Tebow jump pass, and it was in different form, but it's a Tim Tebow jump pass. But I don't think he wants to really show his hand until he has to, and he knew he didn't have to. Penn State came out and after
wait until he plays somebody tough.
Yeah, well, Penn State's a tough team, but Penn State came out and it's the first drive of the second half, two plays. I think it was two plays, 85 yards, and a touchdown. And he put Cardell Jones back in. Cardell didn't do much. Put JT Barrett back in. And then the game kind of got away. Penn State had a holding call, a touchdown, and a holding call. It got called back. They went for it. They didn't get any points out of it. They had a fourth down, which they just ran the wrong play, where they were on the 15-yard line. I mean, the game could have been a lot closer. You know, Urban took his foot off the gas. There was one touchdown at the end they just couldn't really avoid. The guy was just wide open. Let's go to Baylor. Baylor 62-38 over
West Virginia. Baylor is scoring so many points. I know their defense. I know the teams they're playing against
no
are not
defense.
Like. I know the defenses that they're playing are not stellar, really, and that's probably why they're putting on so many points. But how many points is this in 2 weeks now? Like 140?
About that.
That's incredible.
You're pretty darn close. I have to tell you that. Here's the problem. The next game is TCU. At number 3, 45-21 over Iowa State. Iowa State actually gave TCU a tussle in this one. And TCU lost a couple players in this game. The big showdown is Baylor-TCU coming up, and I think it's in November.
Well, at least they'll get rid of one of them. I mean, one of them is going to drop out of the playoff race. So
it's going to get rid of one of them, and I don't know. To me, I don't think either of these teams go undefeated. Because someone's going to step up and play some defense. As soon as they play anyone that plays defense and that can score, they're going to lose. And
right.
Like Baylor,
both of them.
Baylor cannot go against Ohio State and win. They cannot go against LSU and win.
It kind of makes you think of the Boise State teams of yesteryear, where you know everybody was mad that they weren't getting ranked higher, and he kept saying, you know, who knows what might have happened, right?
Exactly.
But you know, when they went deep into the season being really good, and people would still not believe in them. And I think that's the same way people are feeling about both TCU and Baylor, and more Baylor than anyone else. You know, that they don't really believe it, and they're not going to until they see the plays that, you know, until they see domination against a team that's good.
Exactly. And, you know, we'll jump off of Baylor and TCU right now because they're kind of, in my opinion, a little irrelevant, even though they might jump up to number one. You never know. I think until they get into any tough competition, I'm going to keep them off the board because they're just wild cards that score points and don't play.
But think of it this way. So, you know, you got Utah, TCU, and Baylor in the 2, 3, and 4 spots right now. Imagine if those three teams were to make the playoffs, how pissed off would the NCAA be?
Oh, it's not going to happen. They won't let it happen. I can tell you that right now. I'll give you my top five, top seven when we're done here. Utah, late night game last night in Salt Lake in a pouring down rainstorm. Give ASU all the credit. They hung tough as they could. Utah did beat them 34-18. You know, the only thing I don't like about the Utah team is their quarterback. He's much maligned. They actually found he had a couple years ago when he got a concussion. But I don't like the way he shot puts the ball. He doesn't throw the ball. He kind of shot puts the ball. It's the only thing I really don't like about
him. Is that a difference that occurred after his brain anomaly or anomaly, or was he just always that kind of a passer?
No, they just kind of – they knew, he got benched, I think, 2 years ago. Last year he played half the game. I just think they
Well, maybe he's just a thrower and not a passer.
That's pretty much. I mean, like I said, when I say shot put, it's literally shot putting the ball out there. It's not a pro motion. He's not going to ever get looked at by the pros.
No.
Clemson took care of business against BC in Death Valley. LSU, Florida. I'll tell you
that
what.
That was a good game. I saw it by the second half of that game.
The Mad Hatter did it again. A fake field goal to win the game. Snapper throws it to the kicker. Kicker runs it in. Touchdown. The Mad Hatter. Les Miles. Pulls another miracle down in Death Valley and the night.
Well, that'd be good to see LSU kind of get back in there because they've kind of fallen off the radar a little bit in the last few years. I mean, not that they weren't good, just that they weren't.
They had some struggles.
You know, yeah.
They definitely have. And then we get to the game of games of games. Michigan State and Michigan.
That was incredible.
I'll tell you what. I watched this whole game. I had the Alabama Texas A&M game on my second TV on silent. I watched this whole game. Michigan led the whole game. They played a heck of a game. Harbaugh called.
They played the better game.
Excuse me. You're 100% right. They did play the better game. Now, like Jim Harbaugh says, and Mark D'Antonio says, you play until the clock hits zero.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, Michigan State had to go for it on fourth down. They obviously did not get it. they had, I think, 2 or 1 timeouts left. Harbaugh ran the ball, timeout, ran the ball, ran the clock down to 10 seconds. Fourth down and 10 seconds to go. You're punting from your 48-yard line or something like that. You have an Australian rugby-style kicker. Ball is snapped, and if I could pull a live, if I didn't put audio up from it because I didn't want to just get to, everybody's already heard it, muffs the ball, and number 20 from Michigan State picks it up, rumbles, bumbles, stumbles down the field.
And I couldn't really tell what actually happened there. I mean, like, did the kicker, did he like try and swat the ball?
No,
or was it a defensive player that did that?
He was actually trying to kick the ball sideways.
Is that what that was?
That's what
because, I mean, the ball just squirts out to the side.
You got to understand, rugby kickers can kick the ball almost anywhere.
I gotcha.
He turned around and tried to actually kick the ball, and the ball went flying out, came right in his hands, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, Chris Berman style, down the sideline, into the end zone, touchdown. Michigan is stunned. There's going to be a picture of that kid in his face on every website in Michigan State. and the thing that really, if you didn't see the guy that did it, he got stuffed under that pile. Unfortunately, he has either a dislocated or broken hip. Had to get carted off the field after.
Wow.
No one. I actually. Saw,
it's like a Martin Grammatica ACL.
Well, he kind of got wishbone when he got tackled.
Oh.
And then everybody piled on top.
Yeah.
So it looked kind of ugly when you looked at it from a couple different angles. And supposedly someone in the stands actually had a heart attack. The man is in...
Not to laugh at the heart attack, but that's just wild to think.
He's in stable condition. He's going to make it. But he actually did have a heart attack at the end of the game. That's how exciting that game was. That's all I'm going to say about it. Michigan State now is still undefeated in the driver's seat.
Well, I just feel so bad for Michigan because more than anything else, I want Harbaugh to have success there. I want him to rub it in the Niners' faces and so that he can win a national title there and then go back to the NFL and then dominate again. I mean, I became a big fan of his in San Francisco. I just think that he showed so much talent. And I think that he's showing this year, even though they lost, I mean, Michigan lost the first game of the year, right? It looked like they weren't that great. But he really came back with them and has shown a lot of power and a lot of strength since then. Just nice to see that there is actually a coach out there who can coach to both styles, NFL and college football.
That's 100% correct, and I think he's going to do a great job there. He's got to get his talent in there, and he's going to be fine. I want to move on to the next game, which is the big game of the day. Undefeated Texas A&M and one-loss Alabama. Alabama came in here and rolled A&M at Kyle Field. This was ugly, actually. I mean, the final score doesn't look as ugly as it was. This was as ugly as it gets for an A&M team at home.
Garbage time can always skew things.
It does. I mean, Alabama had three pick sixes, first time in the school's history, including two by the same player.
That's amazing.
Nick Saban is a genius. I'm sorry.
I think that's what happens is sometimes people forget when things aren't going, you know, aren't going smooth sailing right at the beginning. But this is a guy who's gotten a number of titles. He's taken Alabama pretty much to the SEC championship, like almost every year, if not to the you know, national championship. And you know, it's one of those things where you can't fall back and fall asleep for one moment.
That's true. You know, we're gonna skip ahead. Not much to talk about in that one. I mean, Alabama looked awesome. Florida State takes care of business over Louisville, setting up the Florida State-Clemson matchup that's going to come up, which is going to be a great game.
Oh, that'll be a great game. Is that next week?
I don't believe it's – I have to look at the schedule. I don't believe it's next
week. 2 or 3 weeks?
I think it's in 2 weeks. It's going to set up the basically the ACC championship. We are going to jump ahead real quick and just say Notre Dame fought back hard. USC, after losing Sarkisian, quit or stepped down or got fired, I should say, is what he did. You know, it's respectable 41-31. Stanford beat UCLA on Thursday night. Here's a game I want to get to. Iowa and Northwestern, 40-10. Iowa has a cupcake schedule coming up. I mean, when I say cupcake, I mean cupcake. They could back their way into the Big Ten championship game, and they're one way.
Then you go into the title.
One win, one. If they upset that game, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You can't deny them. if they beat anyone from
good, I like to see strange teams. You know, I mean, well, it makes it more exciting.
Undefeated, no one's looking at them. The kid rushed for over 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. And they just destroyed Northwestern. I guess Northwestern, we see Stanford is really good. They played a really bad noon game with Northwestern, and Northwestern isn't that good. And they're heading. Northwestern, unfortunately, is heading the same way they did last year after they started down 5-0.
Start hot and then stumble.
Ohio State killed them, and they lost every single rest of the game. Looking down here, Oklahoma.
Here's your question then, right? So is the Big Ten so weak that no one's paying attention to Iowa, and then will that help them?
No, I think the Big Ten stacks so heavily on one side right now because Nebraska isn't that good right now.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is the eastern half or the western half of that conference doesn't look like it's dominating quite so much. But I mean, who knows, right? I mean, Ohio State's obviously going to roll, but you know, in the Pac-12, who is there a representative from the Pac-12 this year?
It's gonna be Utah, if anyone.
Yeah, do you think Utah can really go that far?
I think they can, and they just might. I'll get to that in just a little bit.
Okay.
I want to go down here and. Toledo at number 22 rolled Eastern Michigan 63-20. This is a Toledo team that could be really dangerous, but they don't have the schedule. And Houston beat Tulane on Friday night. You have a couple just teams that are off the radar.
How is Duke number 25 when they're 5-1?
They've
played a lot of good teams. I mean, I honestly haven't paid attention to Duke at all.
I haven't seen Duke that much, but this is the AP poll that we have in front of us. They have them at 21 or 25 with the 5-1 record. They ended up ranked last year.
I mean, Duke good in football is almost like Indiana being good in football.
That's true. That's true. The game I really want to focus on right now, real quick, and we're going to take this one into the commercial break. Memphis, Ole Miss at Memphis. Memphis has a quarterback, and now I've watched him play 2 to 3 games this year. He is a redshirt junior, Paxton Lynch. He is 6'7", 245 pounds.
6'7", that's like Osweiler.
It is. He has a cannon for an arm, and he can run the ball. Yesterday, Memphis, upsets Ole Miss 37-24 in Memphis, and Paxton Lynch goes off 39 for 53 for 384 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick.
Wow.
Memphis is now
nice
on
game.
A 13-game win streak. Last time Memphis went 6-0 was 1961, and the last time an Ole Miss team lost to a non-ranked, out-of-conference opponent was 1976.
So let's get ourselves a Utah and Iowa and Memphis, 3 of the 4 spots in the national championship, and then give Ohio State the last one.
We honestly are setting ourselves up for the – I mean, we thought the picking, you know, with the Baylor team, the whole last year's picking playoff teams was going to be crazy. This year is going to be – it's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going
there's going to be a lot of angry people.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of angry people.
Which is probably good for the sport, right?
It's going to be. On that thought, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. We want to thank SageMediaLLC.com and EKFit.net. And we'll be right back with this quick commercial break.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
JPN Mark, we are now going to talk a little Heisman Trophy.
Just real quick, I hate to throw you off course.
No.
But just, you know, let's go back to how the playoff format works. And I think that this year, I mean, of course, I think every time they do a new playoff system for them that it goes.
The first playoff rankings come out November 7th. November 3rd or November 7th, I don't count, whatever that first day is.
I really do think that this year is going to prove what we've been, a lot of us, at least I have been saying for a long time, which is you need to have a conference championship in every major conference, and then you need to have a playoff with all of those teams, and then like maybe one or two at-large teams, at least get yourself 8 teams, maybe 10. I mean, don't want to get too big, so I'd probably keep it more by 8. But really, you know, you have your SEC guy, you have your Pac-12, your Big Ten, your Big 12, you know, all that kind of stuff, or Big 8, wherever it is now, and then have a couple of at-large teams, and then have them play off. And then, you know, now we won't have to worry about this anymore, right? Because
right.
We're going to have 7 or 8 teams that people are going to legitimately make a case for.
Yeah, you're going to have it this year, and I think you're going to actually go to 8 teams. I think that the playoff comes out on the 3rd. That's Tuesday, I believe. I think you're going to have 8 legitimate teams that have a case to be in the playoffs this year. right now, the way I would actually put my top 10, I would keep Ohio State at one just because they have to stay there.
Well, you can't. They're the champion. You can't take them down until they lose.
I would actually put Clemson at two. I would put...
So a big jump.
Actually, I'm sorry. LSU at two. I put LSU at two, Clemson at three, Utah at four, Michigan State at five. I would go Alabama at six, and then I would add Baylor and TCU at seven.
Oh, you're mean.
I'm not mean. They just until they play a team that plays actual defense like the SEC.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Judge what they're doing on the
field. It's like a number of years ago playing in the NFC West in football, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there was nobody who was any good.
That's right. And it's just, you know, until they play someone that I can actually physically eyeball them again, actually doing something again,
mm-hmm.
I can't see it.
You know, it's like what Colin Cowherd used to say all the time, right? It's like, you can do all the stats, you can do all the prep work, you can do all that kind of stuff, but really, just watch a game. It's the eye test.
It's the eye test.
You can see if the team is there.
You can't do the eye test with either of these teams because they're not playing it.
When they play,
guess Oklahoma, but, you know, Oklahoma.
No. Let's see them play a top 10 team
exactly.
And dominate.
You know, because if you look at Baylor last year, Michigan State beat them in the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. There's your eye test. So it's a tough one. I'm going to jump in quick into here into some Heisman talk. Our boy Christian McCaffrey from Valor Christian, Eddie McCaffrey's son, is just blowing things up out of Stanford. I mean, he's doing all around, running back, receiving. He is all over the place. He's not going to actually be getting – probably he might get into the Heisman watch, but I'm going to tell you this: Leonard Fournette out of LSU has had locked up. As barring he has no injuries, granted no injuries whatsoever, Leonard Fournette's going to win the Heisman. I don't see anyone. I mean, I compared Leonard Fournette to a Adrian Peterson at Oklahoma, except bigger, faster, stronger. This man is a man playing amongst boys, and he's doing it in the SEC.
Is he a guy who's going to come out for the draft this year?
He's a sophomore. He cannot.
Oh, he couldn't even. He didn't have the option yet.
Doesn't have the option.
Wow.
He has to play one more year. So he's got to be in. He's got to play one more year. He's the nine. His odds to win the Heisman are 9-20 right
Ooh.
Now. So he is odds on favor.
Well, I mean, so Fournette or Boykin, do either one of these teams have to, or either one of these guys, do their teams have to go undefeated for them to win, or could they still take the Heisman?
Boykin, his team would have to go undefeated, and
because he's a quarterback.
Yeah,
he'd on his shoulders,
he'd have to go undefeated. But I still think he comes up in a landslide loss to Fournette. Because Fournette had an average game yesterday. You know, he had about, I think 30 rushes for 185 yards, and two touchdowns. That was an average game for him.
Like a 7 or 8 yard average.
It was a 7.8 yard average, I think. And that
wow.
was just, like I said, that's an average game against a very tough, one of the best defenses in the country, Florida Gators. Florida Gators went out 7-0 in that game. In fact, LSU didn't score in the first quarter. Now, to give Fournette, that he had an average game, his starting fullback is out, and he's using a true freshman fullback right now blocking for him. So yeah, that could be the, you know, a little on the lower, why he had a little less yards than normal.
I'm sorry that I'm laughing, but the way you say his name, it sounds like you're saying Fournette, and I keep thinking of Jimmer Fournette.
That's a good one.
Not quite a Heisman Trophy candidate.
No, not even close. But like I said, there is a couple teams out there. This is going to be really hard for all of the committee, and I hope Archie Manning's back on the committee this year.
Mm-hmm.
The committee is going to have – they're going to have to look at some of these teams and these non-big top – or, you know, the major five conferences and say, you know, who have they played and, you know, look at the scores. I mean, where did Toledo come
from? Dude, that's what I was saying about Duke.
And Houston just keeps – Memphis just keeps winning. I mean, I'll tell you what. This kid at Memphis, if he comes out, you might be looking as soon as the draft board comes up. He could be your number one quarterback, quite frankly.
So is he going to the Broncos?
Well,
not with a 5-0 record.
Look, if you look at all the quarterbacks coming out this year, I mean, they say Cook from Michigan State could be the second guy, but he's not a first rounder. So the question is,
oh, really?
Yeah. Connor Cook.
So not a deep QB class.
Not a deep QB class. Not a deep QB class.
You know, we did see this past year, we saw more running back, or the earliest running back taken in like six years. So, I mean, it could happen again this year.
It could happen again this year, actually. There's a bunch of good running backs out there. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's going to come out. He's a junior. He's not going to come back for a senior year.
And what a great name.
Yeah, and Devontae Booker is a senior from Utah. He is a monster catching the ball. He's an all-purpose. He's almost a Darren Sproles, but actually twice the size.
You know, I kind of like to point out, and I know this sounds terrible, but, hey, it's the offensive, right? You know, you look at the Heisman names here, they look like normal names. Isn't that weird? Have you never, I mean, I swear, for about a decade there, it seemed like every major player in college and then going into the pros had just the weirdest names you'd ever hear. You know, just a lot of times it was just like a normal name with a duh or a muh or a suh, you know, put in the beginning of it.
Let me ask you this question. How is Leonard Fournette normal? How is Trayvon Boykin?
Hey, because it's Leonard. Leonard's
wait,
a normal name.
Now, Ezekiel Elliott sounds like he should be in Lancaster, PA on an Amish farm, in my opinion.
See, when I – well
– Ezekiel Elliott could be the most Amish name I've ever heard of.
Oh, you're making me think of Kingpin and milking the bull. Took a while to get her running, but pow, all at once.
Hey, we are on the offensive here, baby.
But, you know, but I mean, if you got a name like Ezekiel, you know, can't you? That's a name you could market, you know? That's a guy to draft for your team just so you can say, you know, have the announcer screaming Ezekiel as he's running down the field, you know? You never know what names can do for people.
They are very marketable names, I can tell you that. Yeah, let's switch some gears and move off of college football. Showdown Saturday was awesome, people. Let me just say that. We're going to move into the NHL.
Let's just be honest. It has been a terrific week of sports.
It really has.
I'm saying this with my Dodgers losing in crushing fashion. You know, I mean, it's just it's been exciting baseball. It was exciting NCAA. We've got great matchups with undefeated teams today in the NFL. And, you know, right around the corner, we've got the NBA will be coming up, and we just got the starting, or we have just started with the NHL season.
Yep, the NHL season started off with a bang. Right now, the Chicago Blackhawks are down. They lost four players in the offseason due to money. They are thin. In fact, the Flyers just beat them 3-0 with their backup goaltender getting two straight.
You know, I'm not astute on hockey machinations in terms of player personnel. Do they have a salary cap?
There is salary cap, and that they had to make the money work, and they just couldn't do it. Basically, right now, I mean, I look at Montreal just won last night. They're 6-0 for the first time in franchise history. I like Montreal, New York in the East, and in the West, I think you're wide open. The odds on favorite were Anaheim again. I think you're going to be looking at San Jose or a Canadian team coming out of the West on that.
I'd like to see San Jose kind of come back into prominence.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I would.
And can somebody change the name of the Anaheim team?
I really wish they would.
Seriously, you name it after a movie, a kid's movie? I mean,
it's actually a little bit laughable sometimes when you actually think about it, just because it is the Anaheim Ducks.
Well, I mean, sometimes you hear team names when they go to a new city and something, and sometimes it sounds okay, sounds cool. Like, you know, the Ravens, okay, that's not bad. Or you hear the
right.
Titans, that's okay. But I'm sorry, might just sound stupid to me.
Now, and let's just touch on some basketball real quick while we run out of time here on the show. There's big – James Harden's running his mouth about he should have been the MVP. You look at the numbers.
Fear the beard.
You could look at both the numbers and say, you know what, Steph and Golden State just had a better season than the Rockets, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
You really can't talk smack about Golden State. I mean, come on.
You really can't. The odds on favorite right now. I like Golden State.
I think San Antonio. You add LaMarcus Aldridge to that team. I don't know, man.
I like San Antonio, but I think Golden State will be right there. Let's just get quick through this. LeBron got a shot in his back. He's out for the rest of the preseason. Will that be an ongoing battle? And I want to say something about Derrick Rose right now. Derrick Rose, talking free agency a couple weeks ago, while missing so many games, goes out to practice that day, breaks his orbital lobe. He played 39 games in 2011, 0 games in 2012, 10 games in 2013, 51 games in 2014, which includes the playoffs. I got two words for you, Derek. Shut up. That's all I got to say. Shut up. For Mark and I, this is JP and Mark on the Sports Offensive. Thank you for listening today, and catch us next week at our normal time at 9 a.m.
Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, folks.